Well, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good friends, it's great to be here together, and together we'll experience God in word and sacrament and in the presence of each other. And if anyone is wondering what all these lays are about, today is also an honor and memory and a Godspeed service to Mike and Renee. They might still be with us a few more Sundays, but their schedule's a little in flux. And so, as I always say, we say what needs to be said when we can say it. So today we will wish them a Godspeed, and we will graciously benefit from any additional Sunday they are with us. But let us begin this morning with the words printed in our bulletin. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
And I invite all those who can stand to stand now, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. The Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sins, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. From above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of light, you reached out to us amid our fears with the wounded hands of your risen Son. By your Spirit, breathe, revive our faith in your mercy, and strengthen us to be the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now we invite our children forward for a brief children's message, and welcome all my children. It's good, so good to see you all today. So, in honor of what today is, Doubting Thomas Sunday, I'm going to show you a little trick. But as the scripture says, you need two witnesses for everything, so I need someone to verify that this indeed is a solid cup at the bottom. There's no holes in it, right? No holes in it, right? Someone else verify. The two people see it at the solid bottom cup, right? Solid bottom. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make this coin go through this bottom and appear on the other side. Who thinks I can do it? All right, so a few people. All right, so here we go. Right there, see? Solid bottom, right? So let's count them down. One, two,
three.
There you go. So you all saw it. How many of you actually believe I made a coin magically appear in the cup? One person. Oh yeah, she's like, yay!
That's
fake. Yeah, yeah. So friends, you saw it, but you still didn't believe. Today, we have Thomas who wants to believe, see so he can believe. But today, it's not about believing that God did a trick and magically resurrected Jesus. That's not what today is about. Today is an invitation, like Thomas has, to come forward to where the risen Christ is in our midst at the table, to reach out, to touch, to taste, to hold the presence of God in our midst, and for us collectively to cry out, my Lord and my God. So let us pray. Count of three, we're going to bring our hands together. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you that Jesus is in our midst.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus in our name. Amen.
Amen.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of Acts, the 5th chapter. Hear now the word. When they had brought the apostles, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
We'll be singing the psalm this morning. It's found on page 5 of your bulletin. We'll do it responsively. I will begin with the light print. Please sing the dark print following. Psalm 150.
Our second reading is from the book of Revelation. Hear now the word. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, says the Almighty. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks
be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the people, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nail in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails, fingers in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, friends, I'm going to tell you something you all know, so this is not going to be any shock to you. But down at the bayfront, there's this museum called Ripley's Believe It or Not. And maybe you didn't know this, but it's actually a chain of museums throughout this whole country, all dedicated to this Robert Ripley, who was like the first world-traveling celebrity. So Rick Stevens and all those other guys can owe their origin to Ripley. And he went around the world seeing all kinds of amazing things and writing about it. And his catchphrase is, "Believe it or not," right? And what it means is, I've seen it, this is true, but believe it or not, it doesn't matter. And in my imagination, when it comes to this reading this morning, I kind of imagine that it belongs in one of those nooks in Ripley's. You know, you have the wax figure of Jesus and Thomas and a couple of the other disciples, just like that painting. And then just off to the side a little bit in the alcove is the little description. Jesus Christ died in AD 30. 3 days later, his friends saw him in the upper room. Believe it or not. But this kind of highlights the misconception about belief. We think that when we say believe, what we mean is sort of intellectually think about it. But the problem, of course, with such a statement that belief is really about thinking a certain way, is it's not very transformative, is it? And you all know this to be true because I assume you've all been to Ripley's. But did you leave Ripley's transformed? No. It was just a bunch of fun, a bunch of interesting facts in a very interesting world. And none of those facts really have any bearing on your life. And why would they? Because the world is filled with mystery and wonder. And no one fact can be explained amidst that world of mystery. And if you want true mystery, we've talked about this before, just look at those little atoms floating around everywhere that we can't see. but they do things that break all scientific laws. How do we explain them? We don't know how they happen. It's a mystery. And if we zoom out to the bigger mysteries of the world, it's just a mystery. Who can explain consciousness? Who can explain how everything seems to partake in a universal consciousness? No amount of science is probably going to figure that out. It's a world of infinite mystery and wonder, and amidst that world, things happen that we cannot possibly understand. And so I would invite you to consider this, that the mere fact that Jesus is standing in the upper room is not beyond the possibility of a world filled with mystery. Thomas's response could have been nothing other than, "What an interesting thing happened to Jesus of Nazareth. Do you believe it or not?" And that's sort of the dynamic going on today. You can see something and still not believe it. And you can believe something and not see it. Because the meaning of a thing is never found in the fact of a thing. It is found in the meaning of the story behind the thing. And we all know this to be true. But perhaps we have all also said something like, "If only I had seen it, then I could believe it. If only I could have been on the shores of the Red Sea when God parted the waters and the children walked through to the Promised Land. If I could have seen it, then I could believe it. If I could have seen the fire leading the nation, if I could have seen the mountain with the holy presence of God on it, then I would believe. If only I could have seen the manna fall from heaven." Or perhaps you've said, "If only I could have actually seen Jesus. If only I could have seen him multiply the loaves and fishes, walk on water, heal the sick, raise the dead. If only I could have seen it, then I could have faith." But friends, is that how the story goes? Does the same nation that saw all these great, mighty acts of God also built the golden calf, also cried out in the wilderness, "Oh God, why did you lead us out of Egypt to have us perish in the desert?" And we all know, because we've read the stories, all those around Jesus who saw these mighty acts for 3 years, what did they do? Betray, abandon, deny. You see, seeing is never believing. And we don't have to just look at Scripture for this. Friends, you all know this to be true. Because last December, we had that tsunami warning, right? Your friends called you before you knew what was going on. And yet, how many of us rushed out to buy supplies, get extra water, check to the high ground? How much of seeing that warning changed your behavior? Probably very little. Because seeing is not believing. And so when we come to Thomas, Christ appears in the midst of the community. A Christ who has told him this story, that this is an invitation to God's movement in the world to birth a new creation. Jesus is not saying, "Look at me, believe in a strange and wonderful thing." It's an invitation to come be a part of the new creation. And friends, I have another proposition for you. Everything, and I mean everything, Thomas had that night is available to you today in equal measure. And the response is the same response is the same required response. Because in our midst today is the risen Christ. In all of us in the community, and especially at this table. The invitation is not, come, believe it or not. That is not the invitation. The invitation today is, come, touch, taste, see, come and know that your seat is at this table. Come and be part of God's work in the world. Friends, faith is not believing it or not. Faith is coming now to take your place in God's unfolding love for the world. To say, like Thomas had to say, this is for me. This presence of God is for me. And when we take this bread and we drink this wine, our amen is Thomas's answer. My Lord and my God. Amen.
God of resurrection and new life, we come before you in prayer for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Inspire the church with the breath of your Holy Spirit that we sing the good news of resurrection. Inspire deacons and pastors, lay leaders and bishops, to boldly proclaim your love for all people. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Preserve the earth as a safe home for all creatures. Restore habitats contaminated by pollution or overuse. Strengthen efforts to shape more sustainable communities and make us mindful of the impacts of our daily lives on the well-being of creation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Kindle in the nations a spirit of cooperation and mutual care. Raise up creative and courageous leaders committed to reshaping just solutions to complex challenges in our local and global communities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Embrace all who carry wounds, that they may know your compassion. Draw near to those with chronic pain or anxiety, and for all for whom death is near. Comfort individuals and communities suffering in any way, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, David, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Dan, Gary, Julie, Paul, Emma, David, the Scott Wilson family, Lainey Ray, Nell, victims of California fires, wars around the world, national and world disasters, and especially for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Transform our fear into curiosity and love, especially across differences in race, religion, sexuality, gender identity, and economic situation. Unravel stereotypes that lead to discrimination and destroy oppressive systems that marginalize vulnerable communities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We remember the faithful departed from all times and places, confident that you are the Alpha and Omega. We pray for your wisdom and guidance until our earthly pilgrimage is complete. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God, trusting that you are always with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior.
Amen. So now we'd like to invite Mike and Raina forward. And we have a special guest with us, Pastor Ed. So if you can all come forward. Well, we'll wait just a moment. As I had already said, Mike and Renette will be leaving us. This may not be their final Sunday, but their schedule's in flux, and we need to say what needs to be said when we can say it. And so her last day in the office will be the 2nd, so feel free to come by the office sometime in this coming week and say goodbyes and say thank you. And we will wish them a safe journey. And they've promised to regularly visit with us. And so hopefully we will hold them to that. But Pastor Ed has worked with her the longest, so I thought it would be nice to let him say a few things. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. We're waiting for Mike anyway, so that's fine. You know, when Lucy and I are feel so blessed to be here in this place that's so dear to our hearts and among so many good friends and a few enemies. We had a wonderful time here. You know, when a congregation and a pastor, when it comes time to hire a church secretary, an office administrator, a grand poobah of the entryway, whatever you want to call him or her, it's a huge task. Because, come on down, Mike. Because, you know, that person is usually the first face a person sees when they walk into the church. It's the first voice they hear when a person calls the church. And so that person sets the tone, sets the atmosphere for the place. And Raynette was fabulous at making this a welcoming place for anybody who walked in the door. Pre-COVID, the doors were unlocked, and so anybody could walk in. And anybody did walk in. And Raynette did a wonderful job of taking care of anybody that came in and making them feel welcomed. And she did an exceptional job. She was no Pete Kroc. But then who among us can measure up to Pete Kroc? And with Raynette came Mike, who became a good friend, even despite his ultra-conservative viewpoint. We had some good times together with men's breakfast and golf, and Lucy and I just want to wish you both the best. And thank you for your friendship and support during my reign of terror here.
He had a problem with the mic, and my mic didn't turn on. Okay, no mic. This is why I don't improvise as a pastor. But Raynette, you were like the second face I met coming in, and everything that Pastor had said is equally true. And I would say that secretary does a great job of running interference. Because like they get the call that they know is not really important, and they can like run the interference to keep the pastor and the tasks that they need to do. And she does a great job, too, of reminding me of dates and when things are due and keeping me on schedule. Without that, I would be lost. We're going to miss you both. And Mike, I've enjoyed a lot of conversations with you and the time we've had together. Be always deeply touched by our moments together. So in preparing to leave, we have some gifts for you. So, a special gift for you for your years of service. And then, as always, we have our quilts, and we have two quilts. We have a quilt for you, and a quilt with some dogs on it. So, and we have a card out front that people have been signing, so make sure you grab that before you go. And as always, as our tradition is, we have a song we want to send you out with.
Yeah.
Mike and Renette, as you leave this community of faith, we wish to bid you farewell. A reading from Exodus. The Lord said, I am going to send an angel in front of you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared.
And a reading from John. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ received you both and made you members of this church. When you came to this community, we rejoiced to welcome you into the mission we share as the people of God. In this community, you have come to know and share in God's loving purpose for you and for all creation. God has blessed you in the community. And God has blessed us through you. So let us pray together as a congregation. I invite you to extend your hands out towards them in a blessing. So let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the work and witness of your servants, Mike and Renette, who have enriched this community and share their gift with their friends. Now bless and preserve them at this time of transition. Day by day, guide them and give them what is needed, friends to cheer their way, and a clear vision of that which you are now calling them. By your Holy Spirit, be present in their pilgrimage, that they may travel with the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, bless us and direct our days and our deeds in peace.
Amen.
And may the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace with those around you.
Peace.
Invite us all now to stand, if you are able, for our offering hymn. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you,
and also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Majesty of your glory. We thank you, for you so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Remembering, therefore, his command, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit, you bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and may be formed to live as your holy people. To you, blessed Trinity, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
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 Gathered together as one, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people, and all are invited to come forward and take of communion. In just a moment, ushers will come and we'll ask you to fill in our communion rail from right to left. You may receive communion either standing or kneeling, or you extend your hand out and the bread will be given to you. And then when the wine is passed around, reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. And it is also the last Sunday of the month, so Deaconess Sabina will be in the back for anyone wishing prayers and anointing of oil at the baptismal font. So if you come forward and make your way to see her, you wish prayers. But know that this is the table of God for all, and all are welcome to this table.
Thank you.
And may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. The triune God who was, who is, and who is to come. Let us pray. Living one, in this feast you have made yourself known to us. Send us now to tell of your wonder. Sing of your glory, and proclaim your risen life to a wounded and weary world.
Amen.
And friends, we just pause a little bit for announcements, and again, we got some special treats this Sunday. There's a card on the desk, and our words of the week have all the events coming on in this coming week, and a special reminder for all of our council members that we will have a council later on this afternoon. With that being said, let us prepare our hearts for the benediction. May the triune God, who was, who is, and who is to come, sovereign, Savior, and Spirit, light your way with resurrection dawn. Now and always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Go in peace. In Christ you are made new. Alleluia. Alleluia.